Question. Have men on this earth angels assigned to them as guardians? Answer. Yes. Scripture, tradition, and theological reasoning tells us so. Our blessed Lord says, their angels always see the face of the Father in heaven. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. St. Paul says, are they not all ministering spirits sent to minister for them who shall receive the inheritance of salvation? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Many understand the following from the Psalms in a secondary sense of man, primarily, of course, of Christ. He hath given his angels watch over thee, that they guard thee in all thy ways. Psalm 90, verse 2. Tradition. Saint Clement of Alexandria says, the divine virtue gives good things by the angels, whether they are or are not seen. Origen says, angels have the care of our souls, and to them our infancy are we committed as to tutors and guardians. Saint Ambrose, an angel during lifetime belongs to man whose care it is that no harm comes to him. Saint Bernard, these we believe to be called angels whom we suppose to be assigned to individual men. The Church, in sanctioning an office to our guardian angels, on the 2nd of October, at once testifies to its belief in them. Even ancient philosophers, as was shown in the commencement of this treatise, believed it. Theological reason. From what we have been saying about the angels, the doctrine of angel guardians all but necessarily follows. The first choir of angels enlightens the second the third, and the eighth the ninth, and the ninth mankind. Then again, if it be true, St. Peter tells us it is, that the demons have the power of tempting men, it seems but fitting that man would be excited to good by heavenly spirits. It is most suitable, says St. Bonaventure, that fallen man should be entrusted to angelic care, and that angels should be deputed to guide and direct men. God's power, God's wisdom, and God's mercy demand it. His power because God wishes to be honored, not alone in himself, but even in his servants. Whence it was not sufficient that angels should serve himself, but that they should also minister to his creatures. Again, God had as his adversaries the demon and his followers, and it was more fitting that he should overcome them by his ministers than by himself, that thus his power might be shown, and that, not without reason, he might be called the Lord of hosts. His wisdom, for this is the order which the divine law follows and observes in all its operations. The lowest is brought by means of intermediaries to the highest. Now the angels, by reason of their immortal nature and their consummation in grace, hold a middle place between God and fallen man, and it was therefore fitting that God should assist and guard man by means of angelic ministry. But sweetest of all became his boundless mercy that hath always opened its bosom to fallen man, and never was wanting in aught that was needful to his salvation. And hence, when fallen man was sold to do evil, 3 Kings chapter 21, verse 25, he offered for him the price of the blood of his son, that he might do good. And because he had an enemy attacking him, he gave him a minister to be his shield, that so no part of human misery might remain unsuccored by the divine assistance and protection. On these grounds, then, it was suitable that fallen man should be afforded angelic guidance. Even in the state of innocence, and if man had not fallen, man would still have an angel guardian, for, says the same St. Bonaventure, man had a struggling not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers of this world, of darkness, and against the spirits of evil in the high places. And this is the reason why the good angel is sent to guard us, that we might be defended against the violence of our oppressor, that we might be instructed and enlightened against his deceits, that we might be exhorted and excited to do good contrary to his wiles and temptations. Now, in a state of innocence, our enemy would still have been stronger, more deceitful, and more obstinate in his evil intention than we in our purpose of doing good, and would have harassed us, though not so terribly as now. And on account of this opposition of the demon, God would have given angels to defend, enlighten, and encourage us. Angels have not guardian spirits, For though one angel may be said to preside over another, yet one could not be strictly said to guard the other. Moreover, since their confirmation or their fall, the guidance of a guardian angel was quite useless. The good do not need it, and the wicked could derive no benefit from it. And before that event, there was none to attack, and no necessity, therefore, of one to defend. It follows very plainly also from this that our Lord Jesus Christ had not a guardian angel. For, from the moment of his ineffable conception, he was blessed and perfectly blessed, and it belongs to the blessed to guide rather than be guided. Moreover, the hypostatic union, uniting his sacred soul and body to divinity, brought his humanity at once under the immediate protection of God's unassailable power.